The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's found in Proverbs 14, verse 34. Great leaders in the early days of our country were unafraid and they were unashamed to confess and to profess God at work in their daily lives and affairs of our country. This week we celebrate a national holiday, Independence Day. And this is a good time for each of us to reflect upon the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Number of freedoms. There's an article in our bulletin that, where is the bulletin? There it is. Number of freedoms that we enjoy in this country because of those Bill of Rights. Benjamin Franklin once said that I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. George Washington, in his inaugural address, said this, every step by which our country has advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. Can you imagine that being said by some of our leaders, whether it be in government or in business? Thomas Jefferson, while he was reflecting upon the injustices being done in our nation, even during his time, he trembled. He trembled at the thought of a just God, knowing, as he said it, that his justice would not sleep forever. Righteousness truly does exalt a nation. And sin is still a reproach to any people. Sometimes we don't understand exactly how God involves himself in the day-to-day operations. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that concerning Jesus Christ, we're supposed to hear these days, Son of God, that all of the things he does and the attributes he has, in him we consist. Romans 13, verse 1 says that there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, or ordered of God. So all powers exist by the will of God. God permits them to exist, to govern those who many times don't desire to be governed. So the purpose of our lesson this morning will be to consider what is getting more and more a timely lesson or question. Is our nation falling away from God, or has it fallen from God? What causes such a fall? And is anything that can be done on our part? How does a nation fall from God? You know, when we were kids, we had a game. I don't know exactly how we played it, what all was going on, but it was called Follow the Leader. And I know around our parts, McCool Hollow, as we called it, the McCools lived up in that hollow. There'd been many of them, most of Lonnie's. But there were about eight kids, so there was some follow the leader. Somebody would do something, and you'd follow them and go around. But you know, sometimes games are played like that by adults. And sometimes the leaders that are followed are not the type leaders that need to be followed, whether they be in the government, or whether they be in federal, local, or your own neighborhood, even more local, or whether they be in businesses. Early leaders placed God in their decisions. And I think we see that. We go back, we know that they didn't have the same idea about God as we do necessarily. They didn't all believe the same thing. Actually, this was a boiling pot or melting pot of various religious groups when the country started. I think there was an idea initially that maybe everybody would believe the same thing, but that changed quite quickly. But those leaders placed God in their decisions. They didn't in all their ways acknowledge God, but at least when they put in God we trust on the coins, on our money, it had a meaning. It wasn't a meaningless phrase as it is to many today. In fact, it may be taken on more meaning as people see it and want to get it off of our coins. Many have taken advantage of the positions that they've gained in government or in businesses. We remember the Enrons, and today we have problems with governments and corporate ethics. It's ever so often, well, recently Channel 4 has exposed one of our local politicians for going to work 3 days a week and still getting paid his regular check, and then hiring his two sons on his payroll and not thinking anything was wrong with it. And it may not be legally. But I think the smirk that he had on his face, as he told the reporter, has been removed by various people who sought to do something about that situation. Well, many have taken advantages of the positions. As I thought about this, I think of all the people that go into big business or go into big government. And when they make that big money, and we look at it and we say, well, you know, a person that goes into business for themselves and makes it big, they deserve that money. A lot of times, though, the monstrous amount of money that sometimes is made through greed and through riding on somebody else's back. Unless the government, and sometimes it does, is pouring more money into the economy, the more money some folks make, the less other folks are going to be making. In fact, we're having difficulty now as the economy comes back on its feet of getting wages back to where they used to be. There's going to be a gap between the haves and the have-nots, because those jobs are going to go overseas or being done away with by various pieces of equipment. But anyway, corrupt men with corrupt minds produce corrupt leaders and soon develop corrupt followers. We see evidence of this in the Bible. We see evidence in this in God's people, especially the Old Testament history of the Jewish nation. The people of Judah serve as a preview of the nations that were to come. Listen to what Jeremiah, and I'm going to have a number of scriptures from the Old Testament that reflect upon this. This has a domino effect. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule at their bidding, and guess what follows? And the people love it so. Now that's when it really gets tough. When people are lying, and when people are ruling and taking advantage of what they do, and some of the people, or many of the people, are satisfied with that. You know, and pretty soon, it's about like that frog. You start boiling, put it in boiling water, except you put it in cold water first, and you gradually heat it up. And we gradually find ourselves getting in a situation where we can't get ourselves out of. And sometimes it's our own doing. God had said, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, where's the good way, and walk therein. And I noticed that I reread the scriptures around that, it says, The people of God didn't walk therein. They chose their own way of walking. In fact, a little bit earlier in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 5 and verse 7, God says, you know, because of what you're doing and that you're not returning to me and you're turning away from me, how shall I pardon thee? How shall I pardon thee? Nation falls from God when they follow the wrong type of leadership. Number two, when they forsake the Creator. I'm told that there's a scripture, an inscription on the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington, Virginia, in the cemetery there. And it reads this way, here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God. Wouldn't it be good if we could say of every American that we not only known of God, but that we know God? You know, that's getting to be a more and more a perplexing problem. You know, we talk to people and we may talk to people about God, but they don't hear exactly what we're saying. We have to watch that in communication because sometimes we talk and use words and what is being received is a completely different message because of where that person has been, their background, and some of the changes that have been made over the years. When the children of Israel and when Judah held fast to the Word of God, held fast to the promises of God, then they were strong. They were strong because God was on their side. Remember when back in history, in the time of the kings, David, prior to becoming king, on one occasion, about 10 the sheep went to the battlegrounds where the people of God were fighting against the Philistines. There was that giant that came down and challenged them. And David saw that giant, and he wondered, you know, out loud, I guess, so wasn't there a cause? And after he'd taken on that giant with God's help, David's comment in 1 Samuel, I believe it's 15 or 17, verse 47. Verse 47, one of those chapters, said, you know, whose battle is it? The battle is the Lord's, he said. The battle is Jehovah's. The battle is the Lord's. He recognized that. And it still is. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge in Hosea 4, verse 6. And that kind of gets down to the nitty-gritty of it, doesn't it? People don't know God because they don't listen to Him. See, we want to pray to God, we want to talk to God, but we want God to talk to us unless it's some little wee voice, you know, in the night, and that kind of stirs us up to think about something like that. But we got a Bible here. We don't have to hear wee voices in the night. We can have this on tape, we can hear voices all the time. And it'd be speaking what's in God's Word. God's message for us. It's a shame that we have God's message. And a lot of times we speak out words condemning others who don't teach what we teach and don't teach what the Bible teaches, and yet we've got the Bible and won't read it. I know that some are reading it. Read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and see how Timothy was instructed by the Apostle Paul. Timothy was young. Timothy had a ministry. We all have a ministry. We're all servants of God. We're all ministers of God. We don't have to be standing in the pulpit. In fact, the minister is not my title. I might refer myself to a minister sometimes just to let folks know I preach here. But mainly I refer to myself as a preacher, a teacher. But we're all servants. Again in Jeremiah 2:11-13, God by way of Jeremiah says, "My people have changed their glory for what is profitless. My people have committed two evils. Me, the fountain of living waters, they have forsaken. To hew out for themselves cisterns, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." Turned on the radio this morning on the way in. Some fellow was had his sermon on this these two verses. He talked about that, how people can forsake God, who has the true words of life, forsake Jesus Christ in God's word, though where the true words of life are, and go to these cracked cisterns. Cisterns are built to hold water. A cracked cistern won't hold water. And traditions of men don't hold water. Creeds of some other man won't hold water. God says, "I have living waters. I'm the fountain of living waters." Jesus said that to the woman at the well. Lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge is causes us to get in a situation like that. How can we make a nation great? Can we create securities by making alliances? This country can make alliances with other countries. But sometimes we alienate ourselves from God. Can our country allow a principle of freedom from religion replace the principle of freedom of religion? Because that seems like what our country thinks today, what our government officials think, all the way down the line. And there's money tied all the way down the line. That's why it's very difficult to get the school system to have prayer. Prayer in the football huddle. I don't know whether it's outlawed yet, but it's probably in most places it is. Prayer in the schools. Prayer on the loud system at a football game, I think, in a lot of places it's outlawed. All because one or two, three people. Now, I know we're supposed to protect the rights of all people, but I think we're getting silly. I don't think we're using common sense. Common sense has to be used when you're doing something. It's like out the airport. Picture of the day of a little bitty baby, not a baby, but a little bitty girl being patted down all over. Now, if some man was seen doing that nearby, patting a little girl all over, he'd be put in jail. They stopped that. I'm not even going to tell you what they did to the 95-year-old granny. Probably some of you heard it. Some of you heard it. That was degrading, humiliating. That's not maybe the government going overboard, although it is to an extent, but it's somebody interpreting rules and not using any common sense. Such wisdom is going to get us into trouble. The might of a nation. Because a nation can become isolated from God. Isolated from God. God's word warns that such wisdom against the might of a nation and isolationism from God. Jeremiah said this about folks that had those ideas of taking on these things. I said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Whenever we see men trying to take over and do things their own way, we're going to find all this kind of stuff going on. Lack of common sense. Lack of following some basic principles that God has laid down. I read another article. I had a bunch of articles in the paper, but one writer in the, quote, faith and values section, which has now become a nothing section. They just every once in a while put something in there about Jews and about the Muslims, and I'm not against Jews and Muslims necessarily. although they're not believing what the New Testament teaches, but it seems like the emphasis on many news stories and whatever is to kind of get Christianity in an uproar and put Christianity down as a very low minority of all the people. And you'll notice that in much of your coverage of the news. How does a nation fall from God? By forsaking God as creator. And that could be another story too. I read an article that said that's questioning Adam and Eve. And it says, theologians debating the Bible story of creation. Theologians! That's not, people out here, agnostics or atheists, or they're not talking about the scientists. They're talking about theologians, people who are teaching theology, which is religion. Man, if you don't have Adam and Eve to teach, you don't have no Jesus Christ. Pardon English. Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. He believed in what God said in the earlier chapters of Genesis about marriage. About one and one equal two forever. Third thing. People follow their own heart. They follow their own feelings. Their own unguided, misguided, untaught, uneducated conscience. God's word says pride goes before destruction. Haughty spirit before fall. Proverbs 16:18. How does a nation fall from God? Falls the same way we as individuals fall from God. By losing our faith in God. By losing our faith in God. Thinking that we stand, we fall. That's what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Take heed lest you fall. I believe that's 1 Corinthians 10:12. Israel was used to judge the people in the land of Canaan when they went into the land. They were supposed to annihilate, destroy everybody there. And God used them that way, the book of Joshua. Assyria, dreaded Assyrians were used to punish and judge Israel by God, according to Isaiah 10:5-7. Then later, Babylon was used to punish Assyria and punish Judah. God is at work in the affairs of nations. And these actions on God's part should have made nations take notice that Jehovah is high above all nations, as the psalmist says in Psalm 113, verse 4. That God controls in the affairs of men. We need to keep that in mind. That despite perhaps the doom and gloom that we see, that God is still in control. Now, though God is in control, it doesn't mean that this country is not going to go down the drain, though, unless some ideas change, and some thoughts change, and some directions change. Nations composed of people puffed up with pride and haughty and feel self-sufficient. You've seen, we have people now that feel self-sufficient. I don't need God. They don't need anybody. Pretty soon they need a jail cell. Because they walk all over everybody and get to the top. Guy down in Dixon stole millions of dollars from people that he was taking care of their money. Guy over in Murfreesboro, some guy up in Springfield. They're all around. Some of them go and commit suicide, not being able to live with the fact that they got caught. Jeremiah 7:23-24 had other things to say about God's people. God's people were told what they needed to do, and Jeremiah said they hearkened not. They didn't pay any attention. They didn't incline their ear, but walked into counsels and in imaginations of their own evil heart. and went backward and not forward. And isn't that kind of the way our country's been going, especially the last few years? I mean, the Wall Street boys and all the banks and the insurance companies and all the oil companies, and that's one of the things they're fighting over now. All the big boys and all the big money and all the big tax loopholes that these folks can get. And somebody's going to let this stuff ride on our backs if we don't wake up. And we might vote somebody in. What I've said, if I vote somebody in and they don't turn out to be what I think they are, I'll go vote them out. Maybe one day somebody's going to get the message. Conclusion. Thought I'd never reach it, right? Conclusion. Well, not through yet, even though I'm there. I still got, you know, still got more notes in the under conclusion. When we play the game of follow the leader, and we follow the wrong kind of leader, when we forsake God, when we turn our backs on God, God's going to turn his backs on us. We're going to study Malachi later today when we get together again at 5 o'clock. And it's cool enough down here. Run upstairs, get your cushions, bring you some cushions from home. That'll make these seats better. When we forsake God, when we follow our own hearts, our own ways, we are destined to fall before the wrath of God, and so is a country. Most countries that have fallen over the years, you've probably heard me say it before, have fallen from within. Fallen from within, the biggies. The Roman Empire just became so full of greed, so full of immorality, that they imploded. Almost like one of these buildings you see implode. You know, it just settles down. It doesn't look like it's moved. It's just, but it's gone. It's right there and it's gone. God spoke to the nation of Judah, and so he speaks to our nation and speaks to any people. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Again in Jeremiah 21, verse 8. A way of life and a way of death, and we have a choice, as they did. Choose God, and you choose life. Choose our own devices, and see where they get us. They get us death. Long ago, Joshua stood before the children of Israel. It was nearing the end of his life. He was getting on up in the years. He asked them to make a choice. They were coming to somewhat of a crossroads. And he said, you need to make a choice. But as for me and my house, we'll choose to serve God. We'll worship the Lord. Choose you this day, he said, whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. A poem written by Edward R. Well, I don't know what it was, a poem. It's just a kind of a real short, quick essay. Edward L. R. Elson looked back on this country and had some words that I thought were interesting. He said, the American pioneer faced the forest and the future with these powerful, three powerful weapons in his hands. He carried an axe. He carried a gun. He carried a book. With the axe, he attacked the forest. He hewed logs for his house, his school, his church. With his gun, he hunted game for his table and animal pelts for a living. And he protected himself against the predator forces of the wilderness surrounding him. The book was the center of his personal devotion, the inspiration of his institutions, and the textbook of his education. One way of thinking about it is that each generation that comes along represents a new set of pioneers. A new set of pioneers who need to continue to keep the book as a personal devotion, as an inspiration for all the our institutions and the textbook of our education. Many young people years ago learned to read, and they read the Bible more than just about any book that they read. We need to develop and select leaders who will put God first and put godly things first, rather than not try to say the name God. I saw somewhere recently, I don't know if it was in a paper or on the news, where there was a cemetery that wasn't going to allow God's name to be mentioned anywhere in that cemetery unless you had prior permission. And the speeches that were to be made in that cemetery, I don't know whether it was Arlington or not, but it was some cemetery. And I meant to look it up, but you had to have permission ahead of time, and you had to submit your prayers or your speeches ahead of time so they could be checked out. Where are we coming to? What are we coming to? We need to be dedicated ourselves to upholding God's name before other people around us. Not be so afraid and mealy-mouthed that we're going to hurt somebody's feelings that doesn't believe in God. They knew what this country, or what many of us in this country, stood for before they entered and crossed the ocean to come to these shores. Bill Banowski, some of you may have known him at Lipscomb. He was a student there, and later, I believe he was maybe president of a couple of Christian colleges, seems like. He had this to say on one occasion. He said, how clearly we can see God at work from creation to the close of the book of Revelation, but how pessimistic we've become about all of the ages since. God is even yet performing his purpose in history. God is using even this hour to fulfill his eternal purpose. Let us consider these things, and perhaps, as Abraham Lincoln stated, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that a government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Ever keeping in mind God's warning, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One way a nation falls from God is when its individuals, citizens, fall away from God. We need to go forth determined from this day to do everything within our power to not allow our nation to declare its independence from God. That seems to be the aim, to declare our independence from God. No mention of God in any way that has anything to do with the almighty governmental dollar that is ultimately our dollar anyway. If you're here not a Christian, why don't you come today? Come to Christ. He's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. Come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to confess that name before this group. Repent of your sins to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If as a Christian you've fallen away from God and you've forsaken your Creator, why not come back to God this morning as we stand and as we sing?